money, 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 for the love of money. You remember the OJ song? I bet you can hear that song right now. And how about Money from Pink Floyd? Now, if there weren't copyright issues, I'd be playing those songs right now. So you'd get into the mood to listen to Jerry Kazaya and his wife, Dr. Laura Schwaller, bring you a powerful discussion on wealth and money. Jerry and Dr. Laura own the auto shop in Plano, Texas, and they are also leading Business Builders Mentor and Mastermind USA. They help entrepreneurs accelerate their business and open doors of mental blocks that prevent them from succeeding. You're in for a great ride in this episode. You may even have to listen over a couple of chunks to get it all as we talk about wealth building, entitlement, consumerism, and determining what a need and a want is. Hey, so glad you see the power of the Aftermarket's Premier Podcast as we bring you the voices, ideas, and insights that are shaping the future of our industry. Now, there's only one Remarkable Results Radio Podcast. And it's Carm Capriotto here, your host of RRR and the Town Hall Academy and AftermarketWeekly.com. Now, before we jump into this episode with Jerry and Laura, I'd like to thank my sponsor, Napa Tracks, for their support and for making this show possible. Now, don't forget, Remarkable Results Radio is proud to partner with Napa Auto Care and the 2021 Napa Expo. Join Napa, including suppliers, industry experts, and your peers in Las Vegas, February 1st through the 4th, 2021. It's where you'll discover the latest news and industry information. So contact your Napa store for the details and how to enroll. Hey, I've got a survey up at remarkableresults.biz/survey. I'm hearing from a lot of you, so thank you. It's very short, and I welcome your input.
Right. I mean, the problem with consumerism is we're buying things that we don't really want to impress people we don't really like, right? It's called conspicuous consumption, to try to make us feel important.
Hey, more like that in a minute. Now, I would hope you've discovered Aftermarket Weekly, the show that presents a live shop tour each week. We're live at noon Eastern Time on Tuesdays, streaming on social media and on aftermarketweekly.com. Hey, it's great information, and I talk with one of your peers, and you also get a shop tour. Catch all the archived episodes at aftermarketweekly.com. We're talking money right here, right now. And according to Jerry, surprisingly, 85% of 65 years or older don't have access to $25,000. That's a very sad percentage, knowing that you have worked almost all of your life, but do not reap the benefits. Let this episode be your springboard to bounce you back to financial stability. The episode talks about fiat currency, the distinction between spending and investing, spending habits, and other in-depth financial mechanisms that are wired deep within you. So as you listen, there are a lot of variables on why we fail with money, but there are also a lot of things to help us on what to do about it. Get Jerry and Laura's bio and their talking points in previous episodes at remarkableresults.biz/E575. Money, money, money. Enjoy. Hey, a warm welcome to great people, absolute friends, and important part of the podcast, Jerry Kazaya, the Auto Shop, Plano, Texas. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Carm.
I am so happy you brought your wife with you on this trip. She may have hung out at one other show that we did, but this is important because we're obviously going to really hear from Laura. Dr. Laura Schwalek, good to have you here, Doctor.
Well, thank you. It's great to be a part of your amazing Carmcast.
Oh, yeah. My podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Now, you and Jerry wrote a book a while back, Hiring a Superstar. What motivated you guys to do that?
People kept asking us, how did we get such great employees? How did you get such loyal employees, such great employees? Where did you find them? It's actually a system. We use a system to find people. And one person after another asked us, well, share your hiring system with us. And then groups of people asked us to speak regarding our hiring system. And I thought, well, gee, you know what? Let's just put this in a book, and then that way everyone can have it. And there's free downloads and the whole way that we do it. So it's really easy. You can hire the cream of the crop. That's really what it's about, particularly for small business and the support staff required by small businesses.
I've always wanted to write a book. Maybe you guys can funnel or channel me here. Laura owned a clinic for over 20 years. And one day you decided to say, I'm going to work with Jerry.
Well, I can't say it was one day. It was a process.
It was a process. I imagine it just didn't come out of the heavens and hit you upside the head. But you're with Jerry. I know he's thrilled to have you. You're retired from the medical field, huh?
Yeah, I'm happily retired. But I don't really think of myself as retired because I manage the auto repair shop for Jerry now.
Exactly, so. Right. I mean, you went from one intense career to another. Well, we should do a podcast just on that pivot. That would be cool. And you guys are both working on Business Builders Mentor and Mastermind.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's very fulfilling. That's one of the most fulfilling things right now. It's fantastic.
You know, it's so great to help people. I mean, if you can get rewards from that, then I don't think there's anything greater that you can do.
I love watching the light bulbs go off in someone's eyes when we're teaching something, we're sharing something, and they get it. It's like, you can see the excitement. It's like, oh, yeah. That's like the biggest win in the world.
Those V8 moments, those knock upside the heads, I love having them. I just do, because I'm a perpetual student. I love to learn something new every day. I almost force myself to have daily V8 moments. Anyway, you guys are here for a particular reason. Jerry and I were discussing off record a couple of weeks ago. Jerry loves to use the phone, hates email, I could tell. He loves to use the phone. Phone rings. We're talking about wealth building and, you know, why we fail with money and what we should do about it. And I says, well, we need to lay this down into a podcast because I think we can all use some help with this. And I know part of the theme of this discussion is becoming a financial adult. And I just so love that title.
It's awesome, right? Because, I mean, if you think about it, most people, they act like spoiled teenagers when it comes to money. There is no discipline. Nobody teaches financial discipline today. Nobody teaches money today. And we wonder why the younger people, and for that matter, the older people in the United States, why are they struggling financially? Well, there's a litany of reasons. The USA Today reported that 85% of Americans 65 years or older they don't have access to $25,000. Let that sink in for a moment. People 65 or older don't have a savings account with $25,000 in it for their retirement. I mean, goodness gracious. To me, that is the ultimate financial failure for 85% of the country. For me, I could never imagine such a thing. And I want to do my best to help people to prevent that from happening, right? So I'm going to encourage you, become a financial adult. Let's have some fun with this and show you how to do it.
I love that. So you have brought to us, the industry, 17 really critical key points. And between you and Laura, I just want you to knock these out. This will not be that long of a podcast because Jerry promises to highlight each and every one of these. But Jerry, I read these over. I've made some highlights and some notes. I've learned some things. But I also say you're right on almost every account here. So let's start.
So the first thing I want you to do is understand that focusing on money does not grow money. It just doesn't. Creating value grows money. See, you don't go out and make money. Nobody makes money but the mint. The U.S. Mint is the people that make the money. Everybody else, you have to create value and you earn it. Okay? Using money actually costs money. Every time you convert your assets to cash, your wealth actually shrinks. Think about all the merchant fees. Think about the ATM charges. Think about any taxes involved. Every time you convert, whether it's money that's in your savings account or whether it's money in your checking account, when you pull that out into cash, someone's paying a fee or a charge. So creating value grows money, but using money costs money.
So the second one is that money is not wealth. Having money does not equal wealth. You can take wealth and turn it into money, but you cannot always take money and turn it into wealth.
We all know people that have money, and a lot of them are miserable. if you're wealthy, you can't be miserable because part of your lifestyle is being happy. Truly wealthy people are happy. People ask me all the time, Jer, how come you always have a smile on your face? And my answer is, what the hell do I have to frown about? Nothing. My life is beautiful.
Yeah, it does. But I've got to stop you for a moment because I'm going to try to ask you questions that I think my listeners are thinking about. So I've got 50 grand in the bank, way better than the 25 grand you talked about earlier in the show. I got 50 grand in the bank, and it's not a lot of money, and it won't sustain me forever. But I have some, in my mind, wealth, and if I don't touch it, it maybe is earning me 3, 4, 5%, who knows. And you're telling me that that's not wealth.
It's not. Today, $50,000 is, I mean, how long will that last you? Take your annual expenses for just living in your home. Most people have a mortgage. Most people have property insurance. They have property taxes. They have utility bills. They have internet. They have...
But Jerry, I have a job too. I have a decent job. Both of us are working. I'm paying the mortgage and everything, and I got 50 grand on the side. Now, I know that's not a lot of money, but you're telling me that that's not wealth. And even if I add $5,000-$10,000 to it a year through savings or IRA, or it's not wealth.
No, and it isn't. And part of the thing that you have to understand is keeping the value of assets in money usually causes them to decrease because of inflation. The value of the $50,000 dilutes over time. I mean, think about it. The Fed has just announced they're not raising interest rates above zero for 3 more years. 2023 before they start to raise interest. Their goal is to have inflation at 3%. So if you have your $50,000 sitting in the bank, you're losing 3% a year just with it sitting there.
If I'm trying to figure you out, Jerry's got to have an angle here, and I'm going to try to jump to the end of the show and figure out, that should I take that 50 grand and buy something that appreciates?
I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
So the thing is, most people live on credit. And using borrowed money magnifies all of the problems that you end up having. Using credit, using borrowed money, magnifies the dilution of the value of all of your assets. Okay, we're going to get to that, but I just want you to put that in the back of your mind and focus on that.
I could see that on a personal basis. If I've got credit card debt, it's crazy to have it, period. But if I'm a business owner and the SBA came in and helped me grow and I have 2 or 3 or 4 stores, is that still not good?
Okay, so Robert Kiyosaki in Rich Dad, Poor Dad talks about good debt and bad debt, right? If you are borrowing money to increase your business and bet on yourself, I would say that is considered a good loan, right? It's a good use of credit. Unfortunately, most people purchase depreciating assets on credit. And we're going to get into that a little bit later.
Don't mean to jump around on you, bud.
No, it's okay, brother, because you're asking great questions. And we want to make sure that all of our listeners get what we're talking about. And it totally makes sense.
When you focus on value, providing value, so whether it's you have a service business or an online business, whatever it may be, or even just in your regular job, when you provide value, that will cause money to flow to you. And that's kind of, maybe sounds woo-woo, but we don't make money, we earn money. And how we earn money is by providing value. Henry Ford, I think it was Henry, that said, how do you create the amount of money that you want is that you help other people to get what they want. And that is one of the biggest premises. A lot of people know that one already. So if you're not earning the amount of money that you want, have a look and see what kind of value you're creating for other people.
Well, the latest person that said that was Zig Ziglar. And the exact quote was, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want.
Yeah, I think you're right. One of those three incredible warriors of ours. I've got to create value so that I can get wealth.
Yes. In the automotive world, we want to talk about technicians creating more value for themselves, for their employer. How do they do that? Hey, boss, I want a raise. Great. What training have you been to? How many classes have you been to this year? What have you learned to improve the value that you bring to this company. Now, not everybody wants to go to training. I know that most of the listeners of this podcast absolutely live for the training. But there's a lot of folks out there that don't. And my conversation to them, to anyone that's in our mastermind group or in our networking group that we have, the question is, you want more money. What have you done to improve who you are? This is creating more value. So keeping your assets in money will cause you to lose money. Again, let's go back to your $50,000 that you have savings in the bank, right? The bank is paying you, if you're lucky, you're getting 0.10%. Right? I mean, come on, a tenth of 1%? Jesus, are you kidding? This is nothing. In Germany right now, they have negative interest rates. That means you pay the bank to hold your money. They're talking about bringing negative interest rates into the United States.
I only wish that what they would do here, when I see that little mini, you know, dime or whatever number they put on my account, I say, why would they want to waste the bit and the byte that they use, the electrons, to post that?
I mean, to me, it's embarrassing, right? And again, because if you go back to the 70s and early 80s, I was talking in our mastermind group yesterday. I said, my first house, when I bought it, I had an 11 7/8% mortgage rate, and I thought I had hit a gold mine. I was a big winner because the average mortgage rate at the time was 15 to 18%, and the fact that I was able to get one for under 12, ooh, I was a big winner.
Bought my first house back in the middle 70s, and oh boy, we were in the double digits.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, right up through the 80s. Yeah, amazing.
Keeping your assets in money will cause you to lose money.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Jerry and Laura explain why we are still teenagers as it comes to dealing with money. Hey, it's Carm here to tell you about the best shop management solution for your auto care center, Trax Enterprise. Now, since NAPA introduced Trax in 1989, it's been the industry's leading shop management system out there. Today, Trax Enterprise offers even more of the features auto care center owners want, things like a powerful interactive scheduling calendar, faster and streamlined workflow, multi-shop capabilities, easy pay consumer financing integration, and more. That means you can count on Trax Enterprise to help drive your success today and well into the future. The tabbed interface lets you open and view multiple estimates, ROs, invoices, and purchase orders all at the same time. You can even place windows side by side, over or under, or drag a tab from another application outside Trax to open another window. One auto care center owner said he loves being able to have 10 to 12 work orders open at once. Enterprise also offers a Microsoft Outlook type calendar, so you can view daily, weekly, and monthly schedules, drag and drop appointments between days and times, and block time to indicate length of work. Punch out to Mitchell Pro Demand is another huge benefit. It provides embedded labor, part, maintenance, and fluid capacities that can be transferred to estimates and repair orders within Trax. Trax Enterprise also streamlines parts ordering. Just one click, and it's done. The mobile capture app sold another auto care owner on Trax Enterprise. He said there's no reason to write VINs by hand anymore. You can decode the VIN from a mobile device and send all the information directly to Trax. There are reporting features too. For example, with just a couple of clicks, you can find out how many repair orders you've written in a month. Talk to your Napa Auto Parts store and find out more about what Trax Enterprise can do for you, plus the hundreds of other great things the auto care program has to offer.
Okay, so I just want to talk about assets for a moment. I'm sure that most people know the difference between an appreciating asset and a depreciating asset. Depreciating would be like a car, a boat, something that does not go up in value, whereas appreciating is that it does go up in value. Like, not always, but commonly, land will go up in value. That's a great appreciating asset in most cases. Now, there will be fluctuations in economy and in location and things like that. However, keep in mind something that will appreciate in value, like a business that's growing, is another example. But the thing regarding money that people, especially the younger generation, just really don't know and may not have heard of, they might not have heard of the term fiat currency. And currently what we have in the United States is a fiat currency. That means that it's not backed by anything that's solid, that's real. For example, it's not backed up by gold. It used to be that the American dollar, the currency, was backed by gold. And it's not anymore. The only thing that this money, the value of this is equal to the value of this because they're both paper. It's just that we have an agreement because this says 20 on it. We have an agreement that it's 20. But I can't exchange this for something solid. I mean, I can buy something. I can buy gold. But the currency itself is not backed up by something solid anymore. And so what happens, like in other countries that have really high hyperinflation, is that you can have this, but it might be worthless in a few years. I'll give you a specific example. Like right now, the penny in Canada, they're no longer using pennies. In fact, they even want to get rid of nickels because people don't use them. They don't want to use that part of the currency anymore. Another really good example is Jerry has a bunch of European currency, like
Zimbabwe.
French.
I have Zimbabwe dollars too. Don't forget those.
Yeah,
I have $1 trillion Zimbabwe note.
Well, you have some French francs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they changed the currency. They changed it to euros. So that currency is not backed by anything solid. It's not like you can go and get gold or silver or something else. It's just paper. It's just paper now. It's pretty because it's got colors on it, but it has no intrinsic value. It's paper. And the problem is that the fiat currencies have a tendency to, over time, fail. And so this is part of the reason why it's not good to only have your money in cash. It's good to have something that's solid that will appreciate in time.
Okay, I can see where this is going because one of my questions, and I know you'll answer it, is the percentage of your assets in money versus other appreciating items. Will you cover that? Will you tell us about that? Because I'm curious. I'm going to go take my entire 401k and put it somewhere else here at the end of the show.
Don't make any drastic decisions until you talk to somebody and they look at your entire picture. Do a holistic approach from the top down. Check out everything. See where you're at. And then have a second opinion and a third opinion.
Got it. That's smart. That really is smart.
At a minimum in cash, though, you want to have anywhere from 4 to 6 months of your living expenses in cash or in a bank. It doesn't necessarily have to be cash. Like, don't stuff it under the mattress or something.
Right, right. I understand. Yeah.
But you want to have some for living just in case something happens in, like, this past corona. Some people, they couldn't go to work. Many people lost their jobs. So you want to have some savings just in cash, but the rest you want to put in something that's going to appreciate for you higher than the inflation rate, if all possible.
You know, how terrible to think of all the waiters and the waitresses in this whole hospitality world that we live in. If they had 6 months put away, it's still not going to be enough.
Right? Who would have predicted 2020? Who would have predicted a global pandemic? Yeah, I mean, or complete shutdown of the United States of America. This was an unpredictable, once in a civilization opportunity. I mean, it's huge, right? The interesting thing is, you know, Laura touched on it. Fiat currencies collapse over time, right? Our fiat currency, we used to have the gold-based dollar. And on the top of the dollar, it didn't say a Federal Reserve note. It said silver certificate. Or gold certificate. And you could take that $1, $5, $10. You could actually go and exchange that for a dollar's worth of silver. Because that bill was backed up with a hard asset. When you have fiat currency, your currency is not secured by anything. Which is why we continue to bring up value. The more value you bring to yourself... the more you learn, and again, well, let's go back to our technician, right? The more that you learn how to be a better technician, the easier it is for you to A, get a job, B, make more money, right? 3, protect and provide for your family. I mean, this is what we're all about. This is what we're trying to do. So the more value you bring to the conversation, the better off you are going to be.
Build your resume of value.
Absolutely.
I'd like to go back, yeah, to debt for a moment.
Beep.
That is number eight. Because a lot of people don't realize that we have a fiat currency, but a lot of people don't realize that debt was something that people didn't really have. There are some countries where you can't get a loan for your home. There's no home loans. You get the money together and your family, everybody helps you, and you buy a home. In the United States, though, in North America especially, we have debt. People live with debt all the time. They think debt is normal. But debt started off as a tool. It was a tool to help you to move forward. And you paid it off as quickly as you could. You know, it was like 3 years, 5 years, 7 years at the most for a house, for example. We didn't have 100-year mortgages or 50-year mortgages. Debt was meant, it started off as a tool to help people to, for example, grow their business or to get a home. But then it was paid off as quickly as possible because the interest payments over time are enormous. Jerry, what are some of the numbers? There was a friend of ours that bought a vehicle recently. It was not an expensive vehicle. It was a used vehicle. I think it was $25,000. And they got a 72-month loan.
There's something wrong with that.
There is something wrong with that.
There is. Like,
if you can't afford to buy something, then put the money away until you can buy it. The keeping up with the Joneses is one of the biggest things that hurt people tremendously. To be able to look like you have wealth when you don't is a really ridiculous idea. It's a childish way to look at money.
Everybody has credit cards in their pocket, right? Most everybody has a credit card or a debit card. Here's a trivia for you. The first credit card was the Diners Club in 1950. Credit's only been here for 70 years, right? What Laura's talking about with all these really long car payments and 100-year mortgage payments on a house. Are you kidding? So I've studied money for years. I'm just be really clear on it. And what we're sharing here is the beginning concept of part of our wealth class. And we are in the position and have been in the position for years that we are our own bank. What the heck does that mean? How are you? Am I insured by FDIC? No, I'm not. But I'm insured by me, the house of Jerry, right? What does that mean? How am I my own bank? Well, when I go buy a car, I reach into my savings account that I have specifically for automobiles, and I stroke the check for the car. I give that check to the dealer. But before I do, I ask the dealer, I pull out my calculator, my loan amortization calculator, and I say, okay, this $100,000 car or $50,000 car or $25,000 car spread out at whatever the current interest rate is, right? So like today, an automobile interest rate would be 4.5% to 5%, depending on your credit. Right. And I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to pay this off based on my cash flow in 4 years. And again, you have to work with what works for you. Right. So what I do is I write the check to the dealership or to the auto sales guy. I give them the check. And then I take my calculator and I'm disciplined where I write myself a check for the monthly payment, including interest. And I put that money into my savings account for the next time I want to buy a car. Wells Fargo and Bank of America, they have enough buildings. I don't want to sponsor them having another building.
Okay, so you're taking it from your left pocket and putting it into your right pocket with a monthly discipline.
Exactly.
Well, that's just common sense.
No, it is. It's uncommon. Common sense is a superpower. Come on, Carm.
I said that with my tongue firmly placed in my cheek.
Right? No, nobody has the discipline. Everybody thinks, okay, I will do that. That's a great idea. But very few people are disciplined enough to actually put it into practice and make it happen. This is how they get into trouble. We were talking with some folks on Tuesday evening into our introductory to our mastermind group, and they said, yes, our parents already know when they get their corporate bonus check and it's already spent 6 months before they get the check. Welcome to consumerism.
Well, I want to share just a quick personal story about buying a vehicle. So I had learned about how to, from one of our mentors, to put set money aside for things that we want, our long-term savings for spending account. And I thought, okay, I'm going to open up this account at the bank. The lady that was helping me to open the account, she said, okay, so what do you want to name this account? I said, this is my car account for when I buy a new car. She's like, oh, okay, no problem. So she types that in and she says, okay, so how much money do you want to put in this account? I said, $25. And she started laughing. She's like, there's no way you're going to buy a car, you know, with just that. And I said, well, the idea is that I put money in every month or every week. Every time I get money, I put money in here. And she kind of rolled her eyes and said, well, good luck with that. Well, you know, that was kind of deflating, quite honestly. But the truth of it is that every time I got a paycheck, I automatically put a certain percentage into that account. And then when I bought my new car, I had an old Ford Taurus, and my husband kept encouraging me to buy something newer, not a brand new car. That's a whole different subject, because there's so much value that disappears right when you drive that car right off the lot. So I bought a newer vehicle, but I took 10 years to build up my car account. And then when I went to buy a new car, I wrote a check for it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to pay any interest. I didn't have to pay the interest that a lot of people pay. And some people end up, especially young people, because they're new, they don't have any financial history. The car financing people take advantage of them tremendously. Jerry, what was it that Demetria was paying? What percentage were they charging her for her car?
So she was a first-time car buyer and ended up paying 29% interest. First-time buyers, low-credit people, are the ones that get abused by the banking system. I swear to God, most bankers are loan sharks in three-piece suits. It should be a crime in this country. Look at the fine print of your credit card. Pull out your agreement and find out what happens when you miss one payment. What does your rate jump to? Mm-hmm. Over 30% on some cars. I've seen 32%. And people that are carrying a note, a credit card debt, my God, it's financial suicide.
Never get out of debt. Never.
Never. No. And if you pay the minimum, it's depending on the interest rate, from 27 to 38 years, it will take you to get out of debt paying the minimum amount.
Now I understand how these get out of debt companies can help. Oh, my. Yeah. Laura, that's a great discipline. Jerry, I love it. You put so much money away into an account. Here's my question about time. Jerry, would you put that number away for a specified number of years? And are you putting that with interest away so that you know that that account has this kind of value in X years? Is that how it works?
I'm a squirrel for money. I'm always building up my accounts. I'm always building up my investments.
So if I put $450 away, which included interest for 4 years, then I've got a substantial amount to buy the next car, I guess. But if I'm keeping a car for 7 or 8 years, then I've got going to have a lot of money if I just keep saving and pushing for 7 years or 8 years.
Consumerism is the idea that we can consume our way to wealth and happiness. 100 years ago, it didn't exist. We didn't think like that. We didn't act like that. We only bought based on what our needs were, not our wants. Mm-hmm. Now, today, we buy to express ourselves, to be an individual, and to get status, right?
To be noticed.
We see people buying Louis Vuitton bags and Rolex watches and, you know, all this name high luxury stuff that they can't afford, right? I mean, the problem with consumerism is we're buying things that we don't really want to impress people we don't really like, right? It's called conspicuous consumption, to try to make us feel important. Consumerism is created by these large mega corporations because they have an interest. Think about it. They have an interest in making you feel insecure about yourself. Like women, think about all the ads that they have for women. It's all about body image and all this. And women look at that and they think, I don't look like that. There must be something wrong with me. I need to go buy something. I mean, it's truly down to a science. These commercials that we see on television are truly psychological warfare for your money. Their design is to incite your self-expression mechanism, because every time you do that, these corporations make a ton of money. Consumerism to feel better or to impress others, it doesn't work, and it robs you of your future.
The famous finger scroll, as we're looking over social media, looking at where our friends are in their moment in time with their new car and their vacation and their trip here, and I feel inferior, so I need, if I'm going to keep up with the Joneses. And in fact, to me, it seems that our young generation in their, you know, late 20s, you know, into their 30s, it's all about consumerism, Jerry. Laura?
I was talking with one of our business builders, clients the other day. Part of the homework that we give them is to take time, we call it think time, to write down what it is that they really want. And this one particular one, I challenged him to take 45 minutes every day for 1 week. And the only question to ask himself was, what do I want? And he shared with me on Tuesday evening, he said that he did it 3 days in a row. He said the first day it was kind of tough, but he wrote down, you know, all the things he wants. The second day, he said it was really tough because he thought he had written down everything. The third day, what he said was, what he realized is so many of the things that he wrote down that he thought he wanted were things that he saw that other people had. And when he really thought about it, he thought, you know what, do I really want that? No, some of them he wanted because they were true to himself. Those were items that were true to him, true to his values, his core beliefs. But much of it did not represent who he was. He thought that he wanted it because he saw other people have it. Or his parents told him, oh, you should have XYZ by now. It was a huge eye-opener for him. He said, now I'm only 3 days into it, but what I'm realizing is what I value, what I want, what I believe is important to me and my wife and my upcoming baby that will be born this winter. And so much, it was like relief for him. Like the pressure was taken off because he didn't have to follow up with the consumerism that's rampant. It's insidious.
Was that exercise to try to find his needs?
Well, it was for him to have clarity in his business and in his life. Because he's transitioning from working at a job, a J-O-B, to having his own business. And he was unclear of what direction he really wanted to go in. And so the homework was, okay, what do you want? What do you want for yourself? What do you want to provide for your family? What is important to you? What do you value? And all of it was boiling down to, what do you want? In 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what do you want your life to look like?
Conspicuous consumption. That's such a heavy two words.
Right? Mm. In the mid-80s, I had been running the auto shop for a number of years at that time. And I thought that, I had some clients come in and I was enticed. I wanted to buy a gold Rolex day date with a Jubilee band. And I knew, and we're talking, you know, the mid-80s. At the time, it was a $28,000 watch. It was like, holy man, if I could have one of those. Oh, why, I'm drooling. Right? I mean, it was my goal. I wanted this freaking watch like nobody's business. And it's really interesting. As I continued to grow who I was and increase my business, and I got to the point where I could write the check for a Rolex watch, I found I really didn't want one. If you look, I don't wear a watch. There's no suntan line. I don't even wear a watch. I have a Rolex. My wife gave me a Rolex. It's in my safe. I don't wear it. Not that there's anything wrong with it. And if that's your thing, God bless you. But
Jerry, what's the weakness for many that would have fallen to that, I'm going to buy the Rolex? What's the weakness? Why does it happen?
Well, the weakness is really simple. We've got to admit that we've been acting like financial teenagers. It's immediate gratification. I see it. I want it now, right? Without question. Let me go see. Well, you know, we kind of have a rule, and the rule is if I want something, right? First of all, we have to look at the difference between want and need. Unfortunately, most people don't do that. They see a bright, shiny something, and they must have it, right? But when you go and you want to buy something, kind of a rule in our life with my wife and I is we wait a week or two and question, do I really need that, right? If it's a major purchase, $1,000 or more, we wait a month or longer. Like, is it really a need? I have a Microsoft Surface. It's a Core i7. It was the top of the line, et cetera, et cetera. Right? It has all the everything you want. And now they have the Surface Pro 7, I think. And I was looking at one the other day, and I went, oh, that'd be nice to have. Oh, right? And then I looked, and I said, but I don't need it. My Surface works great. There's no reason for me to spend $2,000 on a want. And this is what most people don't do, right? We never learned how to deal with money. We stayed in the adolescent mode, and we've relied on other people to take care of us, right? And now it's time that we grow up and we become financial adults. We must take 100% responsibility for where we are and where you want to go. I mean, at the end of the day, it stops with you. It begins and ends with you.
I wrote down as I'm listening to you, because I'm attempting very highly to be a student of you and Laura's teachings here, and I wrote down the word impulse, that so many of our purchases are impulse because of this conspicuous consumption thing. But I also practice a pause. I learned it years ago, Jerry, with emails when... You know, when I entered the world of corporate, and I responded like within 10 minutes, it was the worst career move I ever did, get something off my chest without thinking, right? I learned about the big pause with email. And of course, I think that moved itself, you know, it was one of those big learning moments. And I do the same thing when it comes to acquisition of things that I feel I need, and I have to determine if they're wants or not.
Yeah. Carm, there's also a deeper level to this as well, and that is regarding the impulse. What's behind the impulse? What's behind the impulse is emotions. And there are two main emotions. One is competition. I'll show you, or, oh, I'm going to get it before that other person. Look at all the people that stand in line for different products. I'm going to get it before someone else, so then that way I can be better than someone else. It's a strange kind of logic. But then there's also the one that's the insecurity. Insecurity is a huge motivator of people purchasing things. They feel insecure, and so they feel more confident when they have something.
It goes back to trying to impress people they don't even know or like.
So it's kind of like a teeter-totter. So if emotions are on one side, if emotions are here and emotions goes up and logic is on this side, logic goes down when emotions go up. If you keep your emotions out of your buying, then you have your logic and your money and your wealth. And your emotions are not a part of it. And that's part of what being a financial adult is.
I remember a class that I was to, and they taught us about how not to buy a car, right? And I'll never forget actually trying to stay away from the trap of saying, yeah, I got a beautiful brand new car. It has this in it and this safety feature. And I'm trying to justify everything I did to spend to buy that car on logic when it was really, man, this is cool. I'm the only one in the neighborhood. I feel bad behind here. I love the new car smell. It was all that emotion that actually drove my decision.
Yes, people buy from emotion and then they back up their buying decision by logic. It should be the other way around.
What's next, guys?
Again, let's go back to the more value that you create for others will add to your wealth. The more value you create, the more that you will be compensated. Entrepreneurs, what we do is we find a problem and we create the solution for the problem, and people pay us for the solutions. The bigger the problem, the bigger the solution, the bigger the wealth, the bigger the paycheck, right? I mean, this is the basic fundamental of becoming wealthy.
It sounds like a definition of an automotive aftermarket shop owner.
It is.
I've got all this knowledge. People come to me for my knowledge to solve their problem. You know, I guess if I end up becoming a really good business person and know how to manage my money and my margins and my people and my marketing, and let's go on and on and on, I should have all kinds of wealth.
Yes, you should. And the issue is too many shop owners are not the businessmen that they need to be. They don't understand how to develop their pricing so that everybody gets paid. This is my personal soapbox that I'm going to get on for 30 seconds. I believe that the technicians that moonlight, that do side jobs, are one of the worst things that happen to the automotive industry, because what they're doing is they are conditioning people to seek a deal. I've never had my attorney or my CPA or my dentist say, come by my house this weekend, I'll cut you a deal. I've never seen that. And yet we have technicians who say, hey, you know what, I'll do it for $50 an hour, and you don't have to spend the $150 at the shop. I'll save you a lot of money. It makes no sense.
Well, it goes back to something we talked about earlier about creating value. And if I was, I probably wouldn't have to moonlight then.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So, and that actually is a perfect segue to the next point. And that is that, especially for people starting out in their careers, you create value for others. And how you do that is by creating a craft, like being like a technician. It's a craft. It's an art, a science. It's a philosophy as well. It's when you are really, really good at what you do, whether it's working for yourself or working for someone else, when you do such a good job at your craft, at whatever it is that you do. So when I was an endocrinologist, people came from miles around to come see me, different states. Those are the people that get paid the most. The technicians that really hone their skill, the business owners that really hone the skills of being a business owner to increase their craft. I'm using the word craft because it can pertain to any industry, whether it's art or science or marketing, whatever it may be. Hone your skills within that industry rather than just simply having a job.
Wow. What's next?
So I want to be really clear that there's a critical distinction between spending and investing. It's huge. Too many people think I'm doing an investment. All right. So the spending is when you buy assets or liabilities that drop in value. And again, I'm going to go back to a new car. An investment is taking money and trading it for assets that go up or increase in value over time. People say, oh, I just bought a new car. It's the second largest investment you'll make in your lifetime. Cars people tell you that. The only cars that will be an investment is a collector car. You know, you go out and buy a brand new car off the dealership, it loses anywhere from 25 to 50% the instant you sign the document. You don't even have to drive the car. As soon as it's no longer brand new, the value is slashed. It is not an investment at all. Buying a home most of the time is an investment. Buying land most of the time, it's an investment. Buying commercial property, man, most of the time it's an investment. So you must understand the distinction between spending your money and investing it. Huge difference.
Totally agree.
The productive thing to do with your money is actually quite counterintuitive. It's not obvious how to invest money. Very few people have true investments. They don't know how to invest. However, it's very obvious on how to spend your money. Open any magazine, TV, Facebook, whatever social media it may be. There's lots of ways that you can spend your money, but there's very few ways to invest your money. And so many people have lost money, or there's fake investments or Ponzi schemes. We read an article the other day, a guy that we used to know had a big financial planning business. Well, it comes to find out that he scammed millions of dollars out of people. And so people hesitate. They're afraid to invest their money because they don't know how and they don't know where.
He took $30 million from people here in the Dallas area. He was a financial planner. My wife and I met him, and I said, something about that guy's not right. I'm not sure what it is, but my spider senses are tingling like a son of a gun. And so here it was. It's 8 years later. Son of a gun got sentenced to 35 years in jail, and he is 70-something years old. He will never see daylight. His name was Doc Gallagher. Man, I'll tell you what. He was huge here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Turns out he's a charlatan.
There's a really good book regarding how to spot people like that, and it's called How to Smell a Rat. How to Smell a Rat. I don't remember the name of the author. I think it's Ken Fisher. I know his last name is Fisher. And it's excellent on how to spot financial advisors and companies that are just there to have a Ponzi scheme.
So I want to love life a little bit. I want to enjoy it. So I'm going to spend some money to maybe have a vacation and do some cool, fun things that give me a diversion or actually maybe make me feel good. But yet, I think what I'm continuing to hear is property, invest, things, spend your money, build your wealth on things that appreciate. Is that what I keep hearing?
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times as this interview is going on, I kept writing the words needs and wants and needs and wants. And let's kind of finish with that.
You really have to sit back and look at what you're going to do. You have to examine, again, take off the impulse, take it off of impulse and put a block in there and look at, is this a want or is this a need? Mm-hmm. There are certain things you need, you have to have. You have to have food, you have to have shelter, you have to have water, right? There's certain things we absolutely must have. The rest of it, and I'm not saying you have to live like a pauper, you don't have to live like, you know, like you're homeless. No, get your basic creature comforts. Each person comes with a pre-wired mechanism to know. You know instinctively in your body, you know whether it's a want or a need. All you've got to do is be quiet, ask yourself, is it a want or is it a need? You know, too many people, the biggest problem...
And don't lie to yourself either.
Oh, yeah. And we are the easy... It's so easy to lie to yourself. You are the biggest... You are the easiest person to lie to on the planet. And people believe the BS that they tell themselves all the freaking time. But financially, where they get into a problem, let's say, and I'm going to just use numbers, I'm going to throw it out there, it costs you $20,000 a year to live in your house. You've got a job, you're making 40 grand, costs you 20 grand, you got some money left over. Again, you're kind of just starting out, right? And then they get a raise, and now they're making $60,000. So now they have $20,000 additional money, and what do? 100% of the time, they'll go out and they'll buy a new car, they'll buy a bigger TV, they'll buy a bigger house, and the next thing you know, they're struggling paycheck to paycheck again. Why don't you take that $20,000 and stash it into an investment for a while, right, so that investment starts paying you with passive income, and then you don't have to worry about it. Continue living in your $20,000 a year lifestyle and put the money away into investments. This is the fundamental, easiest thing to do once you understand how to do it and the fact that it's even available to you.
It's so true. You know, you get a raise, you know, from 40 to 60 as an example, and you spend like you earn 80.
Yeah,
and there are some people that earn 80 and they spend like they earn 120.
So I have a client, 27 years. And he was in our waiting room the other day, and I said, hey, bud, how are you? He said, I'm good. I said, what are you doing now? I said, well, you've been retired now for a few years. He goes, yeah. I says, and Kathy, is she retired? He goes, no, Kathy will never retire. What do you mean Kathy will never retire? Heck, she's, aren't you guys like same age? Yeah, she'll never retire. Okay, why are you so sure Kathy will never retire? Because Kathy owes $76,000 on credit card debt. Excuse me? He says, yeah, $76,000 on credit card debt. He goes, she pays $1,800 a month as a minimum payment on her credit cards. $1,800 a month. I said, what in God's name did she buy? He said, oh, she buys all kinds of shit. Anytime Kathy has a self-esteem issue, every time she feels bad, she goes on a shopping spree. She'll spend $300, $600, $800, put on a credit card like this because it helps her feel good in the moment. In the moment. See, the reason people never get what they want is, number one, they don't know what they want. So we go back to the think time. What do you really want? Right? And then the second reason people are not successful is because they give up what they want long term for what they want in the moment. I want to lose 50 pounds, but that damn chocolate sundae looks really good, doesn't it? Again, that's the example. Man, I want to drop, you know, whatever. I want to do this. Yeah, I want to get my college degree. Yeah, but man, I'm surfing Facebook. I mean, look at this. Look what's on my Facebook here. Look, I got Netflix going on. I'm watching something crazy. I don't have time to study. No, it's a choice. See, it's all a choice. If you want something, you must give up something else. Are you willing to give up the Netflix and the Facebook to get a better education so you bring more value to your employer, to your job, to your career? It's, again, it's a choice. You want to have wealth? Great. Will you stop buying the Louis Vuitton bags to make people think you're rich? Is it better to be wealthy or is it better to look wealthy?
That was one heck of a great summary. It was a perfect ending monologue, and I think it really hit home because it was a great story, great example. Now, you guys, besides having the auto shop in Plano, Texas, a great, great operation, you have Business Builders Mentor and Mastermind. Tell us about that.
All right, so it's a mastermind for men, business owners. Sorry, ladies. Jerry wants men, so we just have men. It's a fantastic group, and it helps men to not just learn about finances and business, but it really helps them to be the most that they can be. So that at the end of their life, if they were to meet their best, highest self, if they saw that man, they would know that it really is him, rather than being a lesser version. That's the kind of easiest way I can explain it, but it's really the nuts and bolts of business, and they are friends with each other, they help each other, and we all celebrate the good things, and we are there to really support each other and lift each other up in the troubled times or the times of indecision and the things that life throws at us.
All kinds of industries, right, Jerry?
Yes, sir. We've helped people fire their partners. We've been there to be a soft shoulder when their mother died. We've been there for the birth of their kids. We've been doing this for a while, and 5 years now, and it has just been a fascinating experience. And I love the folks that we work with.
It sounds like there's a lot of emotional support and sharing of ideas, but is it steeped in this whole wealth building thing?
Wealth building is always a part of it. It's part of what we teach. We want our members to be what I refer to as a solid man, right? Solid men are confident. They're secure. They know who they are. They are, in our case, every one of them is happily married. It's not a criteria that you be married to be in our group, but it just turns out that the solid men that we have in our group are all happily married people. They are, again, it comes down to confident.
They didn't always start off that way. Some of them, when they started with us, they were not happy in their marriage at all. They were not happy in their marriage, and they were not happy with their business. They were striving and looking for something, looking for answers, because they didn't have all the answers. No one does. But in a group of people, that are like-minded. You can find answers. And as a result, every single one of our members that joins us has either doubled or more their business, their revenue, their profits in a year or less. And so we actually have a challenge now. The challenge is, can you double your business in 12 months or less? And we have the next upcoming challenge that starts in October, and the winner wins $5,000. We know that they're all going to double their business. It's just who's really going to do even more than that. And that's who the winner will be.
I wrote the word lost down, Laura, when you were talking about that. I believe many of us oftentimes in our lives feel lost. We're not sure, are we going to, you know, go this road or that road, this decision, that decision, and we don't have people to run it by, and or we're trying to have the greatest self-confidence in the world to make the right decisions, and yet on that path to that decision, we sometimes feel lost.
Having somebody who's been there, done that, and gone through so many of the problems that business owners go through, having, well, both of us as mentors, and then the support of each other, is tremendous. We have guys coming in like, oh my goodness, I'm getting audited. What do I do? Because they've never been audited before. It's like, oh yeah, okay, well, this is what you do. They're like, really? That's it? I don't have to freak out. I don't have to lose sleep. No.
Or my employee just wrecked a company truck. What do I do? I've never had that happen.
Yeah. Here's what and you do. The drug test shows that they were under the influence of something.
www.bbmmacademy.com. I'll make sure that's in the show notes page. We're not here to promote your academy, because I really wanted you to come here and just tell us all about becoming a financial adult. And believe it or not, we covered 17 points. I thought it would take 20 minutes. It didn't. But I have to say something. I don't think it would have worked if we rushed it or we highlighted it. And I think we needed to get deep in some of these categories, because you're listening to us right now and hopefully you're walking away. We'll put the talking points inside the show notes page. But I hope it changes your life, and I hope it makes you think a little deeper and harder. Jerry, Laura, thank you so much for being here. Any final wrap up here?
This is the starting point. There's more. We can go deeper. We can expand on all of this. If your listeners want more, we're honored to come back and help. We are servants. We're here to serve. We're here to help any way that we can. We're honored to do so.
And if anyone is interested in joining the challenge, that URL is bbmmusa.com/challenge.
Neat. And starts when? October something?
The official entry date is October the 20th, but contact us before then so that you can find out all the details.
And that would be 2020, because I know there's going to be people who will listen to this podcast sometime next year or even 2 years from now. Oh, believe you me, people listen, they go back, they actually look at all the archives. And this, I think, could be one of those really great archives. Jerry Keziah, Dr. Laura Schwalek, thanks for being here, guys.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much for having us, Carm. Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.